Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we hear from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week we're examining tail risk and considering how investors can assess and react to such potential events. Whether we're talking about the prospective impeachment of Donald Trump, the possibility of conflict in the Middle East, or turbulence from North Korea. We'll head across all those regions to hear from our panel of experts. We'll consider base case, risk case, and tail risk case scenarios, and ask whether a diversified portfolio remains the best way to plan for unforeseen developments. Before getting into some specific examples, let's get a sense of the importance of breaking down a tail risk. Why is it crucial for Jason Dreho, UBS Head of Tactical Asset Allocation for the Americas, and his colleagues?
Well, for investors, you know, one of their biggest concerns is downside loss. They certainly want to, you know, capture returns as they're going, like markets are going higher, but they're even more concerned about making sure they don't suffer significant losses to their portfolios. And tail risk events, whether it's Donald Trump doing something, North Korea, the Middle East, that could potentially could cause significant market corrections, to the extent that you can minimize the impact on the portfolio, that's a big benefit to our clients, to investors in general. So it's really something that we focus on, you know, quite a bit, because the negative implications it would have on investors.
Michael Bolliger heads the Emerging Market Asset Allocation Team at the UBS CIO. We spoke to him about the Middle East specifically, but again, we started by asking him about the importance for him and his colleagues of breaking down tail risk.
A key observation here is that, you know, these tail risks, these event risks, they can move financial assets in a very sizable and substantial way. And second, you know, they would not only affect typically one specific market where they occur, but they can have spillover effects to other markets and other asset classes. So looking at the situation in the Middle East currently, for example, this can have a spillover effect to, say, global energy prices, which can then feed into shocks to global equity markets, etc. And so that makes it very paramount for us as an investment house to really follow these developments very closely.
Well, Michael, on that precise point, we're talking here, it's Thursday morning in Europe, and I guess this is the exact point. The pace of change, the pace of movement is so rapid, it must make your job, if not nigh on impossible, it certainly makes it very challenging, right?
That's exactly true. It's developing very rapidly sometimes, and also typically in an environment where the visibility is very low and situations can become very, very fluid. For us, as an investment manager, what we tend to do is to pay a lot more attention to fundamentals, to things we have more confident on in sort of our ability to forecast and predict, like the business cycle, like the credit cycle, like, you know, global monetary policy, like inflation trends. And although we monitor political developments very closely in our investment decision, given that we face or we focus on a 6-month investment horizon typically, they are important, but they're less important than those more fundamental factors.
Well, Michael, on that point, it's interesting. I mean, we're speaking to a few of your colleagues around the world looking at different markets. And one of the questions I'm asking them is, well, what are your risk scenarios, whether it's North Korea, whether it's in the Middle East? But I sense from what you say, actually, maybe it's less important to look at specific risk scenarios and more important to keep focused, however challenging that is, on those fundamentals.
Yes, exactly. So you should, I mean, that's the way we do it. That's our investment philosophy. We want to look at those fundamentals. We want to have a clear view there, and we want to stick to it if we think it's still valid. And then when it comes to, you know, the more detailed decision, the more narrow sub-asset class decisions, obviously then these factors, like, you know, the situation in North Korea that you mentioned, the very fluid situation around Qatar and the conflict there between Qatar and Saudi Arabia and its allies, then they come to play, and we want to consider the different scenarios, the base case scenario, the risk case scenario, maybe the tail risk scenario even, in our decision on finding the most interesting assets in terms of the risk reward also, considering these scenarios.
We look to some specific examples next on the programme. Let's hear from Sundeep Gantori in the UBS Wealth Management COO in Singapore, a director and equity analyst covering the global technology sector. What is Sundeep's base case scenario on North Korea?
I think North Korea is a high impact event. All the probability is very low. We think that in an extreme scenario, we see a significant move in markets, currencies. it's a nuclear state, so definitely the risk will be huge. But the good news is, in our base case scenario, we do not expect any extreme moves, but something we would monitor. Also, given the latest comments coming from U.S. and also the missile tests from North Korea, so its situation is going to be quite fluid. But having said that, we should monitor it, given its impact on equities, currencies, and across asset classes.
What are Sundeep Gantori's risk scenarios for North Korea?
We think that a tail risk on North Korea would involve a sharp rise in tensions with extreme outcomes, including a regime change or escalating regional wars. A significant escalation could stem from North Korea conducting its sixth nuclear test and the U.S. responding with a military strike, which in turn is met with retaliation by North Korea. This would obviously increase geopolitical tensions globally. This will also likely force China to take a stand and making things matters. We see very low chances of such a high-impact scenario materializing. But let's see, you know, if this transpires, we think that Asian markets would fall by around 15%. The most sensitive market like South Korea would actually decline even more. And currencies like Korean won will also come under pressure. Japanese yen, which is generally considered as a safe haven, it would generally rally. So we expect quite some extreme moves in those risk scenarios, more so in the tail risk. But overall, we think the situation should be manageable in the near term.
So many complexities then here, so much tension. So what is Sundeep's conclusion?
I think while North Korea has regularly been in news, we think that the confluence of factors have reignited geopolitical tensions in the region, which include, for example, a new administration in the U.S., the deployment of the THAAD anti-missile defense system in South Korea, and also the ongoing missile tests by North Korea. Now, despite significant activity over the Korean Peninsula and also media speculation, our base case scenario is we do not expect any extreme outcomes, and with the status quo largely being maintained in the region. We think that North Korea will eventually seek to negotiate a deal, and the ongoing activism is intended to mainly improve its bargaining power. Now, as a key trading partner, we think that China, which generally accounts for almost 85% of North Korea's trade, it has a key role to play in those negotiations. As far as our base case scenario is concerned, we expect geopolitical tensions in the region to subside over the coming months, and focus will shift back to fundamentals. Just as a reference, during the past five nuclear tests done by North Korea, starting from 2006, even the most sensitive market like South Korea fell by an average 2.5%, whereas Asia as a region declined by 0.6% within 7 days of the nuclear test. So, which also shows that markets overall have actually managed very well. To summarize, we do not expect any extreme market moves like in the past, and hence we maintain our preference for global equities with an emphasis on a well-diversified portfolio.
Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll look at two more examples of potential tail risks out of the US and from the Middle East. And we'll pick up on that point that Sundeep Gantori just raised about portfolio diversification. There are all sorts of potential events, however unlikely they may be it impeachment or some such. But what's the base case re Donald Trump? And what are the risk scenarios when it comes to the US president? Jason Dreo in New York takes up the story.
Well, the base case was assume one, he's not going to be impeached because it's an unusually, very kind of rare occurrence. It also requires basically Congress to vote to impeach him, which means the Republican Party, his own party, would have to vote to impeach him, which was very unlikely. The last time there was something like this happened was in the late 90s when Congress, the House of Representatives, voted to impeach Bill Clinton, because it was a Republican-controlled House versus a Democratic president. So one, just the chances of Trump being impeached, just given the politics involved, is quite... What else could happen in terms of a base case, then, is assuming he's not impeached, then assume what is the likelihood of his policy agenda getting through. And he certainly talked a lot about cutting taxes or tax reform, infrastructure spending, regulatory relief. He's also talked about policies such as getting better trade deals for the U.S. Some of these are potentially could be good for the economy, such as regulatory reform or infrastructure spending, some such as increased trade barriers would be negative. So when we think about a base case, we would assume he'll get some done on sort of his pro-growth policies. So perhaps a tax cut, but not a significant tax reform, incremental sort of regulatory relief. And there's also the risk that there could be increased trade barriers. Now, a base case would assume that it wouldn't be anything significant. There might be an odd tariff here or there. Earlier this year, there was a desire to put some tariffs on dairy imports from Canada. But these are very specific and relative to the whole economy, very minor. You know, a tail risk would be something such as they decide to impose a 15% tariff on all imports from China, which then would risk potentially setting off a trade war where China responds or other countries respond, and that could escalate into something that would ultimately be harmful. So again, that's not the base case. The base case would be something that we avoid those things. Hence, that's why we would call them a sort of tail risk.
And we shift our sights to the current situation in the Gulf region next to understand the broader context of the Qatar-Saudi spat and to consider how that background shapes decision-making on tactical allocation. Here's Michael Bolliger again.
Looking at the current conflict, the current tensions between Qatar and Saudi Arabia and its allies in the Middle East, this is not a situation that is completely new. The conflict has been lingering there for several years, actually. But the current dispute is probably the worst in more than a decade. So it's a very serious thing. When we then, you know, look at the way we structure our portfolios in the emerging markets, we have to acknowledge that, you know, despite all these uncertainties and risks and the situation being extremely fluid, Qatar and the sovereign and some of its companies, the financials and also corporates, they do have very solid credit fundamentals. And when you look at the pricing of these bonds, they trade well above what their credit rating suggests. So in the context of a diversified portfolio, again, despite all these risks and despite the situation being very fluid and visibility being low, we do still think at this point it does pay off on a six-month horizon to have some exposure to the Qatari fixed income market.
Finally on the programme, let's consider tail risks in terms of the takeaways for investors. Do we come back, as so often, to the old adage, in Jason Dreyer's view, that a diversified portfolio is everything?
Look, we would always say that investors should hold a globally diversified portfolio to account for the fact that there are just always risks that could take place, not in a tail risk such as a military conflict with Korea, but just in the US or for the global economy, that growth can end up being slower than we expect. May not be get a recession, but perhaps less than the market expects, and therefore the return outlook, the outlook for corporate earnings would be less than expected, and therefore you want to be kind of protected against that because one region or one market could be more adversely affected than others. So yes, the advice is kind of simple and it's kind of repeated ad nauseum, but it's true that you always want to hold a globally diversified portfolio. You also want it to be the portfolio structured in a way that it's aligned to what you're trying to accomplish and what your goals are. So if you have certain long-term objectives, make sure the portfolio meets those. If you have short-term liquidity needs, make sure that you're not taking excessive risk if you need to withdraw a significant amount of money in the near term because perhaps a child is going to be going to university and you need to pay for that. So you should always make sure the portfolio is set up in a way that matches those future obligations and it meets your goals. Then once you go beyond that, when we start to think about these tail risks, it's hard to predict. They shouldn't be your base case, and you shouldn't necessarily have your portfolio tailored to be prepared for a military strike in North Korea because it's unlikely to happen, and therefore you don't want to be positioned for that scenario. But what we do want to assess, and what we try to assess when we look at these different tail risks is, suppose something does happen, suppose we do have increased protectionism, what is the impact on the markets? And the way you kind of go through that is to assess, well, what would be the impact on economic growth? Does it slow down? What's the effect on potential interest rates, exchange rates, inflation rates? So you have a view of, like, in this scenario, in this situation, what does the macroeconomic environment look like? What could that mean for different asset classes, for stocks, within stocks, stock markets? What markets or regions or sectors would be most impacted and potentially by how much? We can historically estimate what would be the impact. Or then you can estimate just doing sort of fundamental analysis on what is the impact. And then given those different scenarios, you can then start to maybe tweak your portfolio in a way to say, we think it's unlikely, but if it does happen, these sectors or these markets will be hit most. So perhaps we want to reduce exposure in our portfolio to those based on these tail events.
And what then is the best advice from an investor perspective, according to Michael Bolliger? Is a diversified portfolio everything here?
That's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. I mean, they say, the only free lunch you can get in finance is diversification, and that certainly holds here too.
And that's Michael Bolliger bringing us to the end of this 144th edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the world of finance each week. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com or catch up via your preferred platform. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.